So what do we know so far? For more, I'm joined by Alan Deal, a former investigator for the National Transportation Safety Board and the author of Air Safety Investigators, Using Science to Save Lives. Alan Deal, I want to walk you through some of the theories we have heard so far today and which we heard just now in that tape. Let's talk first about complete mid-air collision or failure. What is the possibility of that?
Well, the wreckage location pattern suggests that there was sort of some kind of in-flight breakup, but I don't think this happened at 31,000 feet, even though it spread over several miles. That's a fairly tight pattern, and there's been reports that data was streaming as low as down to as low as 5,000 feet. So the problem may have began at 31,000 feet, but I believe the aircraft was relatively intact. Down to a lower altitudes, perhaps as low as 5,000 feet. Now, we do know the tail was 3 miles from the main wreckage, and there is other debris and bodies scattered in that area. But I don't think this aircraft came apart like, for example, the Malaysia 17 flight did when it was hit by a large missile over the Ukraine.
So it's not consistent with a mid-air explosion, at least not at that height.
I would say not, Gwen, but of course, you know, having done this for 40 years, everything is very preliminary, and I can only speculate. I think the Egyptians will do a very thorough job. We know that oftentimes people say this is like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, only many times you don't have all the pieces. I think we've got all the pieces right now. Mm-hmm. The recorders were in good shape. The Egyptians have analyzed those. I think that was why they discounted the missile strike theory. And, of course, the wreckage is in a desert area. This is not like the Ukrainian crash where it was scattered over a very wide area. People were pilfering things, we think, and maybe even the rebels were removing things. So I think we've got all the parts of this jigsaw puzzle, but it's just going to take a little time for all the players to come together. It's not just the Russians that are doing this investigation or even the Egyptians. We know there are five countries, and particularly with the French involved, I think we're going to get to the bottom of this, and fairly expeditiously.
You mentioned the fact that the plane's tail was some distance away from a lot of the other wreckage. There are also reports today that there had been damage to the plane's tail some years ago that had been repaired. What is the potential for that some sort of weakness or metal stress and failure which would have created something this catastrophic?
Well, we've seen this before in 747 over Japan, the worst single aircraft accident in the history, killed 520 people. The tail came off because they're called tail strikes. The aircraft tail bumps the ground on takeoff or landing. So this is a real possibility. But again, Gwen, they have the physical evidence there, and the Egyptians seem to be doing a very good job of protecting that. I've noticed they've even put fences around the primary wreckage location. So the metallurgists will haul that tail back into the lab and with electron microscopes and other techniques establish whether this repair was done correctly or whether there was some sort of metal fatigue involved or, you know, even a catastrophic failure for some other reason. I think we'll get to the bottom of this when we have the evidence.
Well, the black box, is that essential for us to find out whether maybe pilot error could have been involved?
Absolutely. And, of course, as many people have said, everything is still on the table. Another thing that was very curious about this, and again, these are initial reports confirmed, I guess, by the Egyptians, that their radar data suggested that the plane didn't just suddenly dive out of the sky from 31,000 feet, that it actually entered a series of undulations where it climbed and dove a couple thousand feet before it made its final plunge towards the desert. So that could, you know, we've seen this in the past with these highly automated aircraft where pilots have been confused and perhaps shut down the wrong system. The automation is fed by other sensors, and sometimes these sensors, like in the Air France accident in the South Atlantic, they, in essence, they're feeding erroneous data to the computers, and the computers do things that cause the pilots to be confused and contribute to this. Now, you can argue that's pilot error or design error. Take your pick. The lawyers will sort all that out in future years, I guess.
Alan Deal, aviation security consultant, thank you for helping us.